Today's gospel is from Mark, the third chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Kids, you're welcome to go back to Children's Church for your time together back there. And you'll be in God's Word just like we'll be in God's Word here this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your Word that sits before us, the great gift of grace. God, your revelation to us, that we might know and love you. God, we pray that this morning you would give us ears to hear and minds to understand. Most importantly, hearts to receive the great gift of your word for us today, each at our point of need. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is what I'd like you to do this morning, quickly. Turn to the person next to you and complete this sentence. Church membership is... Go ahead, do it. Turn to the person next to you. Church membership is... Okay, I hear some laughing. I hear some seriousness, not much. So what'd you come up with? Church membership is? Important.
Participation.
Grace. Great.
Being part of the body of Christ.
What was that? Service to God. Good. What else is church membership? A gift. Good. Anything else? Did we share anything up front? Just in the back. Service. All right. Good. Good. And you know what? Church membership is all of those things. And because it's all of those things, we can proclaim and live as if church membership is a gift to us. And that's what we're talking about this morning. That we will make a deliberate pledge, a commitment, if you will, to treasure church membership as a gift of God's grace to us. You know, I was thinking a little bit this week about the gift of church membership. Not everybody has this perspective. Not everyone is committed to having to make the pledge to treasure membership in their church as a gift. And for me, the reason I can say that church membership is a gift is because I get to share in the gospel of Jesus Christ with all of you. That's what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, isn't it? Paul wrote to the church, and he said to them in the introduction to his letter to the church at Philippi, "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now." That was Paul's gift with them, that they would share in the gospel. And the gospel of Jesus Christ in which they share, and the gospel of Jesus Christ in which we share, is the gift of good news that Jesus died for our sins on the cross and was raised 3 days later, that we might be in relationship with God and with one another. That is the good news. That's what gospel means, by the way. Good news. And so we share that good news with God and with each other. We share life together. In Mark chapter 3, verses 34 and 35, we catch up with Jesus. Pastor Corey preached about this text not long ago. Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth. He's been preaching in the synagogue there, making some pretty bold statements that he is the Messiah, namely, his family now has come, his mother and his brothers and his sisters, they've come to drag Jesus away because he's a crazy person. He's now that guy, and they've come to get that guy, their son and their brother. And so we catch up with Jesus and his disciples in Mark chapter 34 and 30, or chapter 3, verses 34 and 35, the gospel as we heard it. He looked at those, these are his disciples now, that were sitting around him after he's been asked the question, after he's been told that his mother and his brothers and his sisters are there. He now says to them, as he looks around at those seated in the circle, he says, here are my mother and my brothers. He's redefined family once and for all. These words were spoken by our Lord over 2,000 years ago. And he says, now in the kingdom of God, because that's what Jesus was ushering in. That's what Jesus talked about. Now in the kingdom of God, we have an extended family that is called the church, the body of Christ. Here, he says, are my mother and brothers and my sisters. Whoever does God's will, they then are my family. And that's what we share in the church, or at least we ought to, that we can call each other brother and sister in Christ. Yesterday, we memorialized, remembered, and said goodbye to one of our family members, Chuck Richardson. And as many of you were coming out into the narthex after that service, you were embracing each other in tears, both of sorrow because we mourn the loss of Chuck, and tears of joy because we shared with him in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can say, because of the hope in Christ, that he now is with his Father. As the choir said, those words that the choir sung, that they wanted to be with their Jesus, I heard those words from Chuck just last week. I want to be with Jesus. Friends, this is what we share in the Church of Jesus Christ. This is an attitude towards membership that treasures it as a gift, that by God's infinite wisdom, he's encouraged and invited us all to do life together. We don't have to do life alone anymore. And so what are some of the things we share? Well, in Acts chapter 4, Luke reminds us of what the early church shared and what we indeed share together today as the Church of Jesus Christ. First, we share our possessions. That might be the most common understanding of how the church shares. In the book of Acts, verse 32, the fourth chapter, no one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. This is a gift that we get to share with each other. Now, I'd like to tell you this morning that I learned about sharing from my nuclear family, my family of origin. But truth be told, that wasn't the case. Now, my parents were loving. My parents were God-motivated Christian followers. They still are. And yet, they grew up in an era where they had nothing. They grew up in the Depression era, and so they gathered all of their stuff as they went through life, and they kind of held on tight to it. They weren't what you call generous. But my friend Dan was. You see, my friend Dan, I met in church. And Dan was the most generous, hospitable man I've ever met, still in my life. He would invite us over, me and my family, for barbecues. I mean, this guy would risk his marriage because he was so hospitable. He would invite us over without telling his wife. That's how generous Dan is. Maybe he's not smart, but he's generous. One time I needed help moving some furniture, and Dan had one of these big, you know, dual-wheeled trucks. And I said, hey, can you help me? And he said, you know, I'm going to be busy that afternoon, but here are the keys. Just take my truck. What? You know any truck men in your life? That's a big deal. And they baby their trucks. They like to take care of their trucks. I know. I baby my truck. I take care of my truck. But he handed me the keys and he said, Steve, you can just take my truck. I mean, this thing's got to be $50,000. I'm thinking, no way. I'm not driving this thing. I can't afford to even fix it. I mean, one of those fenders on those dualies is like $2,000. And I'm thinking, I don't even know if I can get it between two lines. This is a huge thing. But he was so generous, and he taught me about generosity. There was never anybody in need. In fact, when I think about our friend, Chuck Richardson, this is what I think about him. He was so generous. In fact, I give Chuck and Donna Richardson all the credit for my wife, Jeanette, staying in Richland. I do. When we moved up here, we knew not a soul except for Pastor Martin's and Chuck and Donna. And Chuck and Donna welcomed us as their family. This was Chuck's mind and attitude. He would share anything and everything with us. And that's the gift. You see, for Dan or for Chuck or any church member that values and treasures this gift, sharing our stuff, our possessions with other people is something that is a joy that we celebrate, we get to do. It is not a burden. It's a gift. Because in the body of Christ, remember this, Paul also taught, 1 Corinthians 12, that in the body of Christ, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And so if one is hungry, all are hungry. If one is in need, all are in need. If one is homeless, all, the whole body of Christ is homeless. That's what this teaching means. It's a reminder that we are to come alongside and walk together through life. Galatians 6:2, Paul says it this way, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is simply this. Jesus said, I've not come to abolish the Old Testament law and prophets, but I've come to fulfill them. And then he reminded that the Pharisee who came to him and said, well, what's the greatest commandment? He reminded that Pharisee that all of the law and the prophets can be summed up in one commandment. You remember what that commandment is? That commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there's another like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so we fulfill the law of Christ, meaning we're loving God, we're loving our neighbor, when we're bearing each other's burdens. But we don't only share possessions or stuff or trucks or barbecues that are going to get us in trouble with our wives. We share much more than that. We share the greatest gift of all time in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We're reminded here in Acts verse 32, chapter 4, that all the believers in this early and first church, all the believers were one in heart and one in mind. And one in mind means that they had God as the focus, that at the end of the day, for the believers in the early church, as this church was being established, as they talked about theology and doctrine, as they developed practical theology. How are we going to do church? How are we going to do ministry? Can you imagine the questions, the curiosity, the opportunities they had together as they came and worshiped in this new Christ, this new God through the person of Jesus? There must have been a lot to discuss. And I believe, as we read through the book of Acts, there was a lot that they were in disagreement about. But they shared one mind. And that one mind said, it's all about Jesus. Whether we circumcise or don't circumcise, whether we baptize as infants or baptize as adults, it's all about Jesus. Whether we wear robes or don't wear robes, whether we sing hymns or worship with praise songs, it doesn't matter, because those things are lesser things. Martin Luther called those adiaphora, lesser things, because the main thing was the main thing all the time, and that was Jesus. Ugh, I have this hanging in my office, although it's not hanging right now. I was going to throw it on like a sandwich board, but Corey said, don't do that. This hangs in my office. It reminds me, Debbie Stankovich, our administrator, got this for me. And as I sit at my desk, this is what I see across from it hanging on the wall. And you know why it's there? It reminds me of what I'm doing. Because sometimes, oftentimes, it's easy to get mixed up. It says, dude, it's all about Jesus. Now, she wrote, thus saith Pastor Steve, but that doesn't mean anything. How about if we rewrite it today, thus saith Richland Lutheran Church? That it's all about Jesus. And that we share that one mind, that it's all about Christ. And not only that, but we also share, as Paul encourages us, the mind of Christ himself. Philippians 2:5. In your relationships with one another, Paul says, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Then leads into the beautiful Christ hymn that reminds us of who Jesus is and what he did. He emptied himself. He humbled himself. He became a servant. Even served and gave his life on the cross that we might know God. So we share the same mind that is Jesus, and we share the same mindset that is Jesus Christ's own mindset. But we don't stop there. We go deeper. Can you imagine? We share our possessions. We share our minds, and yet that's not enough. We go even deeper than those things to share our hearts together. At least that's the encouragement. That we share the sticky, tough, difficult, intimate, messy parts of life. One of the greatest gifts of being a pastor is to be invited into someone else's life. And I would say the same about being a church member. To be invited into somebody else's heart, that they would receive you in that deepest place of life. Ruth and Naomi illustrate for us what it means to share a heart with another. Naomi had lost her husband. Ruth was Naomi's daughter-in-law. Ruth also loses her husband. And so Naomi says to Ruth and her other daughter-in-law, your obligation is over now to my family. Go back to your people. Go back to your people. You have no more obligation. You do not have to take care of me. But do you hear the words of Ruth to Naomi, her mother-in-law? Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16. This is how Ruth responds to Naomi. When Naomi says, you have no obligation to me. You can go away and go back to your people. Go home. Enjoy life. This is what Ruth says to her. Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Whoa! This is a heart commitment. This is Ruth saying to her mother-in-law, Naomi, I'm going to stick it out with you. I'm going to live life till death together, and we're going to do life, no matter what comes, we're going to do life together. And in fact, she invokes a curse of God upon her if she doesn't do this. And not just like a light curse. It's not a curse light. This is like, be it ever so severely, may the Lord deal with me. She says, if I don't live up to my commitment to living life together, then may God deal with me severely. Wow. She's in this for the long haul. She's made the commitment to this relationship. I want you to imagine with me for a minute. And in many ways, as a congregation, we're already doing this. But I want you to imagine with me for a minute. What would God do if we committed to each other even more fully and deeply than we are already committed? What would God do? What would God do if we took him seriously, that we would share our possessions? What would God do if we really believed that we were to share one mind, that we were to make our church and our membership in this congregation all about Jesus? And the other stuff, yeah, it's important, but it's not important as Christ. What if we decided to share our hearts with one another? I mean, instead of just scratching the surface level, we went deeper with one another. If we made commitments to each other like Ruth made to Naomi, what would God do? Did you hear what God did to the early church when they practiced this kind of sharing? I'll read it to you. Acts 4 and verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And, listen to this, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. Wow. Have you ever been a part of a community where there are no needy persons? I haven't, not yet. But God was so powerfully at work in the body of believers here in the early church that there were no needy persons. And by needy, I believe Luke is saying there were not physically needy people, there were not emotionally needy people, there were not spiritually needy people, but they were meeting each other's needs by the power and through the work of Jesus Christ. And I believe that that could be our gift as well. We're concluding today our sermon series on I Am a Church Member. And you now have the opportunity to make these six pledges. If you've read the book or heard the sermon series, if you haven't heard anything about this until now, you can still make these pledges. After the sermon, we'll sing a hymn, and then Corey and I are going to come up here. And those of you who want to publicly make these pledges, you're welcome to. You're not pledging to membership. You're not pledging to tithe. You're not pledging to be here 24/7. You're simply pledging to come to the place where you value church membership, as we've talked about. These are the pledges. I will be a functioning church member. I will be a unifying church member. I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. I will pray for my church leaders. I will lead my family to be healthy church members. And I will treasure church membership as a gift. If you're ready to make those pledges, you can think about it during the hymn. Ask God's help and His Spirit to guide you. We'll ask you to stand after the hymn. And also, in the Prince of Peace Fellowship Hall, we had a poster put together for us by Sandy Edgman. Many of us last night at our 5 o'clock service, and some of us even this morning, have signed that poster as a commitment to these 6 pledges. If you're there today, we encourage you to make that public proclamation to these pledges. And then we're going to frame that sucker and put it up someplace on the wall in the hall. But Karen will have to tell us where that's going to go. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us church. We thank you that we sit here with our new brothers and our sisters and mothers. We thank you, Jesus, that you modeled for us church as a family. Lead us, guide us, knit us together as one body as we serve and follow you. And Lord, may we look forward to your grace that is poured out upon us as we take care of the needs through the power of your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church of each other and this community. Lead us, Lord God. Lead us as your body to deeper, more meaningful relationships with one another and with you, that we might give testimony to your grace to this place and beyond. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.